Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryan Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastoma Vidavishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 31. Sri Narad Muni continued, although a saintly person may not expose himself to the vision of human society, by his behavior his purpose is disclosed. Right, so, in other words, he may not bring out the idea of his transcendental position, but you can tell by symptoms of what he does. Right? So not necessarily how he's dressed and specifically what he's doing, but the nature of how he deals with it. That's how you'll be able to tell. Right? To human society, he should present himself like a restless child. And although he is the greatest thoughtful orator, he should present himself like a dumb man. As a historical example of this, learned sages recite the story of an ancient discussion between Prahlad Maharaj and a great saintly person who was feeding himself like a python. Right? So the idea as mentioned before is that you don't say things to people who don't want to hear it on the transcendental. It means, like, we'll expose people to Krishna consciousness, the basic, but more detailed than that we won't. Right, the basics, and that will expose everybody to. Those who show interest, that's who we'll then explain more to. Those who don't show interest, we won't explain more to. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's just take prasad, Hari Bol. Like that. Like that. Yeah. Okay. Srila Prabhupada comments. The saintly person met by Prahlad Maharaj was undergoing ajagar vritti, the living conditions of a python, which does not go anywhere but sits in one place for years and eats whatever is automatically available. Prahlad Maharaj, along with his associates, met this great saint and spoke to him as follows. Sri Narad Muni continues. Right. So, in other words, there is a group of persons the python itself just sits there. And because it's destined to get its food, the food will come. But the point is you have to wait. Right? We have this idea, if I run around, I'll get more. But you only get how much you're supposed to get. So that's why it says, you just perform your duties, and then whatever you're supposed to get, you'll do. So it won't be an over-endeavor, it won't be an under-endeavor. Right? But when we try to go out, put in that extra bit, then that doesn't necessarily work. It doesn't necessarily get us anything, because we'll get what we're supposed to get anyway. So the python just has that mentality, it just sits there. Right, and then whatever it's supposed to get will come its way. Right. Yes.
When we say this, then whatever we're supposed to get, an opportunity comes. By this philosophy, some don't do anything, even though the opportunity was there.
Oh, but the python does open its mouth. You know, in other words, it's right there. So within this circle here, it's not that it's going. What lions, tigers, they're going all over the place looking for something, right? So now python just sits there. Now by the law of averages, right, at some point some living entity that's looking for something to eat will come to the place where he is. So that means he'll go over there and catch it. Doesn't mean he's going running off and this and that. It means it's within right here. So then he'll just catch it, and it's not that he just lays there and it has to crawl into his mouth. Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's not the process. So the point is, the opportunity is there. Is it your duty to take advantage of that opportunity? If it is, you must. You don't say, oh no, it's to whatever the Lord, because that the Lord's giving that. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that that's why duties are there. Because then one would say, how much should we be working? How much your duty is. You know, so Prabhupada gives the point of 8 hours a day you put into economic development. You know, that means 8 hours means it's a block, not as time on the clock. You know, that's for lawyers. You know, so that, and they do good. So the point is that you have that block of the day is for this. Before that and after that, that's for sadhana, family, and these kind of aspects like that. So within that, what is your duty? You perform. Opportunities come up, you take advantage of those opportunities. It's not that you don't. But if it's not within your duty, even though an opportunity is there, that you don't take. Because by doing it, then either you won't get anything, or you'll get, but you won't be able to use because it's not yours. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like you're walking by something and something's sitting there. You could take it. But by taking it, then you're stealing, so it's not yours. So the benefits you'll get from it will be limited. Does that make sense? So that's why then one doesn't use that as a method. So, yes?
If we take it from another end, it's our duty, the opportunity is there, we take it, but we can't digest it. So does it mean it wasn't our duty or...
Either it's we have to mature in our duty, if it's actually, or yes, it's beyond, it's within the capacity of our duty, but it's beyond what we can do at this point. Because it has to be just like that principle with the vanaprastha, that he only does austerities and that to what degree he can handle. So in the same way as like the brahmachari, he studies according to his ability. So also the point of varna, the occupational duties, one does as much as one can actually function. You know, so let's say someone's a manager and he can do a small festival, but a big festival is beyond his capacity. Now, if there's others that can help and take part, they'll break it up so everybody takes how much they can. But let's say it has to be done, but no one else is there, then yes, he has to do it. It's beyond what he can do, but then he'll learn how to do more. You know, it's like a fast day. You know, by fasting till noon, then fasting till breakfast is not so difficult. While if you don't do fast till noon, fasting till breakfast is, you know, a difficulty. You know, does that make sense? So there'll always be that aspect of pushing you beyond so that your capability increases. Because we're always trying to increase our ability, what we do for Krishna. But it means it's still within one's duties. It's not that it's outside your duties like that. You know, so, yeah. Okay. Sri Narad Muni continued. The most dear servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead once went out touring the universe with some of his confidential associates, just to study the nature of saintly persons. Thus he arrived at the bank of the Kaveri, where there was a mountain known as Sahya. There he found a great saintly person who was lying on the ground, covered with dirt and dust, but who was deeply spiritually advanced. Neither by that saintly person's activities, by his bodily features, by his words, nor by the symptoms of his varnashram status, could people understand whether he was the same person they had known. Right, so people wouldn't recognize that he's the person before that used to be in their village. Because whatever he's doing is completely different. Right, because he's a Paramahamsa, he's not having this... the aspects of the status of the varna system. He's not performing the activities. He's not following those particular social behaviors. All this. Right? Srila Prabhupada comments: the inhabitants of that particular place on the bank of the Kaveri in the valley of the mountain known as Sahya were unable to understand whether that saint was the same man they had known. It is therefore said, Vaishnavara kriya mudra vigye na bhujai. A highly advanced Vaishnava lives in such a way that no one can understand what he is or what he was. Nor should attempts be made to understand the past of a Vaishnava. Sometimes it's all that. Point is it's whatever comes up, then it's there. But otherwise, that's not something you ask about. Like, you know, probably the devotees wouldn't ask, probably. Sometimes he would talk about what he used to do before. That's how they know. So, you know, devotees would know things and this and that. Or, but otherwise, then that's not important, because it's what you're doing now that's important. Right? Does that make sense? Let's say you have some item. You know, let's say a piece of furniture, and it was sitting in someone's garage somewhere, and it was really in a dilapidated state. They put it on garage sale, you come along and buy it for $10, and you take it home, and you, you know, repolish it, redo all the different things, this and that. Now it looks brand new, and it's a very nice piece of work. So people don't need to know it's from a garage sale. They just know, okay, these are the qualities that it's functioning at now. Does that make sense? You know, you say, wow, this is a really wonderful piece of, let's say, you know, shaker, furniture and that. No, but it was in a garage sale. How can that be special? You understand? There's no importance to that. So, yeah. Without asking the saintly person about his previous life, Prahlad Maharaj immediately offered him respectful obeisances. So you just deal with now. You don't worry about before. Yes.
But I have to correct this mentality of getting the body from things that they did in the past.
How to correct them from?
Yeah. Judging.
Judging. Basically, is that if they're interested in spiritual development, what does the past got to do with it? You know, since when is the mode of ignorance the shining light of devotional progress? You understand? So it's just a matter of shifting the consciousness. Is that they can do that, but how much will you advance if your focus is on the mode of ignorance? Right? So that's why the mode of goodness is what's used. And from goodness, then you connect it to the Lord, then pure goodness. You can say as no, but knowing all these things and this and that, but do they ever get beyond? Do they ever deal with the present? Generally, those who worry about the past never deal with the present. It means, yes, technically you could understand it, but the point is are they? You know what I'm saying? So it's not a matter of, oh, in theory it could be, but it's a matter of what someone's doing with it. That's the main thing that you have to worry about. So, in other words, okay, you have that. Now what will you do with it? How are you connecting that to the Supreme Lord? Right? You don't need to get into detail. We need to get into detail because we want to taste those things. Once Pancha Devita was sitting with Prabhupada, and some nice Indian gentleman had come. I think it was in Bombay or something. They were there. He's talking with them, and topic came around, I guess, about how, you know, Western devotees are taking up Krishna consciousness, even though they're coming from not an ideal background and all this and that. And then Prabhupada just said, you know, just for example, he said, you know, this boy here, because I think Panchavi at that time, I'm not sure if he was a brahmachari or if he had taken sannyas or like that, says his life before was abominable. He had never discussed with Prabhupada what his life was or anything like that, so he was kind of like impressed. But Prabhupada just said his life was abominable, but now he's chanting, now is this and that, so you don't worry about that. So you have that reference, but the point is now is the specialist. So that makes it more special. Not, oh, he's that from that, how could he do this? No, as he was that, now look, he's doing how special that is. So then you would take the potency of the holy name, this and that, because if we talk about the past, then we're looking at the karma and this and that and right and wrong. And unless you yourself actually know Dharma to be able to identify what's on what level of good or bad, then your judgment of it will be faulty anyway. And then, but even if you do have a good proper thing, the point is what's going on now. Because then, is Dharma more important or is the holy name more important? So Dharma is to assist the holy name, not to replace it. Oh, he can't be a good devotee because in the past he did this. Right? That's how, you know, Indians, many times the smartas and that, they'll do that with the Western devotees. Oh, they were malechas and yavanas, how can they be Brahmins? But the point is they're doing it. Look at now. So then what should you think? You're thinking, no, karma is supreme. Therefore, how could they be Brahmins? Rather than the holy name is supreme, that's how these antyajas are now Brahmins. You understand? So it's a change in the consciousness that you'll get benefit from. Because the other one, it's already a hellish mentality. So it's not going to get any better. So does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
What can you do with devotees if they're stuck on that? They're stuck on.
Find someone else to associate with. That's the easiest.
Well,
there's thousands of devotees here. Pick someone else. There's tons of streets and ways to get places. Go a different route. The temple, you have one, two, three ways to get out of it. Actually, five ways, but you know, three of them are public. You know what I'm saying? So just change. Don't worry about it. Change the subject. Talk about something else. You know, if all they do is talk about gossip and nonsense, talk about something that's not so, you know, disturbing. You know, oh, this one, this, that, wow, that's a nice sari. Oh, like that, and then, you know, and then, oh, I won't go offer flowers now. You know, be nice, but why be involved? Okay. Okay. Narad Muni continued. The advanced devotee Prahlad Maharaj duly worshipped and offered obeisances to the saintly person who had adopted a python's means of livelihood. After thus worshipping the saintly person and touching his own head to the saint's lotus feet, Prahlad Maharaj, in order to understand him, inquired very submissively as follows. Seeing the saintly person to be quite fat, Prahlad Maharaj said, "My dear sir, you undergo no endeavor to earn your livelihood, but you have a stout body, exactly like that of a materialistic enjoyer. I know that if one is very rich and has nothing to do, he becomes extremely fat by eating and sleeping and performing no work." 15 to 17, Srila Prabhupada comments. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not like his disciples to become very fat in the course of time. He would become very anxious upon seeing his fat disciples becoming bogies or enjoyers of the senses. This attitude is herewith confirmed by Prahlad Maharaj, who was surprised to see a saintly person adopting ajagar vritti and becoming very fat. In the material world also, we generally see that when a man who is poor and skinny gradually endeavors to earn money through business or some other means, he then gets the money, he enjoys the senses to his satisfaction. By enjoying the senses, one becomes fat. Therefore, in spiritual life, becoming fat is not at all satisfactory. So then, I'm just thinking of the other thing, of the modern view of something's good. You say, wow, that's fat. You know, so that means is that it's good because now it's become prosperous and that. So on that level, being fat is good. It means you're enjoying yourself.
P-H-A-T.
Huh?
That's P-H-A-T.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
Well, we can also say that there are so many living entities coming his way. That's why he's getting fat.
That's the point. He'll take it beyond that. Because, see, the thing is to not get into the detail of that, but get into the concept. In a sense. So you have these two ways of approaching it. One is just you deal with the concept of it. You know, what is the Krishna conscious thing to do? And so it doesn't worry about this is right, this is wrong, this is more right, this is more wrong, or this or that. It's just what should you do as Krishna conscious will solve it. Like that. You know what I'm saying? But if we have a taste for that thing, then we'll try to mechanically get down and deal with it. But then, the pleasures and pains of that endeavor also come along with it. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Right. So if you he said too fat, it just means that you're healthy in this and that. No, you won't be skinny. But when you start to get too fat, then that's a problem. Prahlad Maharaj continued. O Brahmana, fully in knowledge of transcendence, you have nothing to do and therefore you are lying down. It is also understood that you have no money for sense enjoyment. How then has your body become so fat? Under the circumstances, if you do not consider my question impudent, kindly explain how this has happened. Right, so it makes the point. You could just say, beat it, right? Saying things that are pleased... okay. Your Honor appears learned, expert, and intelligent in every way. You can speak very well, saying things that are pleasing to the heart. You see that people in general are engaged in fruitive activities, yet you are lying here inactive. Right? People are engaged in fruitive activities, but he himself is not worried about fruitive activities. Does that make sense? So he's not taking advantage of that opportunity. So he's just lying. That's why he's lying there, because he has nothing to do. He's a Paramahamsa, so what's there to do? So he just lies there. Srila Prabhupada comments, Prahlad Maharaj studied the bodily features of the saintly person, and through the saint's physiognomy, Prahlad Maharaj could understand that he was intelligent and expert, although he was lying down and not doing anything. Prahlad was naturally inquisitive about why he was lying there inactive. Right? So these things are of value so you know how to deal and what's the etiquette and what, you know, proper way to interact with people. Otherwise, you know, nowadays people will learn these kind of sciences so that they can make money from it or get some personal benefit or that. I remember one devotee, he had made some arrangement for marriage that didn't quite work out and that, and so then he learned astrology himself. And then he spent the next, I don't know how long, like 10 years, just checking charts, this, that, like that, like that. Finally, he did find somebody. I'm not sure how it went after that, but, you know, but it took him like 10 or 15 years and then like that. So, yes. So, but here it's that, it's just so that you can understand how to interact and deal with an individual, you know, on a Krishna conscious platform. So it's not a prominent science. But it's something we see is not uncommon. Prahlad Maharaj knew it. The saints when Sukadev Goswami came, it was through physiognomy, they could tell who he was. Like this, so they could see. So it was something that they know, you know, just like you know how to pump up the tire on a bicycle, but it's not like your main thing. You know? So. Prahlad Maharaj was naturally inquisitive about why he was lying there inactive. Narad Muni continued, when the saintly person was thus questioned by Prahlad Maharaj, the king of the Daityas, he was captivated by the shower of nectarian words, and he replied to the inquisitiveness of Prahlad Maharaj with a smiling face. Right? So he asked very nicely, so the tone of voice, he's saying it very pleasantly, he's respecting his position, he's understanding, but at the same time as there's a doubt, he doesn't understand. So doubts aren't a problem. This modern thing that you have a doubt, you have a right to know, and so they ask it in a really, really not very nice way because, you know, they have a doubt. And so, but the point is, it's not a doubt, it's a conclusion. He's not judged. He's just noticed that generally people who are so austere and who don't have a livelihood and that, like these saintly persons, and they're following Ajagarvriti, they wouldn't be fat. Why is he fat? It just doesn't, they don't go together. Does that make sense? So he's not judging. He's just saying, is typically you wouldn't see this. But when somebody says, oh, this is there, and that's, you know, why is that, and this, and they're asking in a very aggressive way, means they've already come to a conclusion that it's wrong. So it's not about inquiring and finding out knowledge. It's just tasting their misgiving. Right? So that's why it was said before that someone, the Paramahamsa, gives up that need for argumentation. Because argumentation, it's a taste. Arguing, being better than others, finding fault in others. Because if you find a fault in others, then where does that place them?
Under you.
They're not superior because there's a fault. They're not equal because you found a fault and points them as junior. Unless you find a fault and go, hey, I can relate to that, and then you're best buddies, then that means you're equals. Right? But that you don't see that very often. Right, so therefore, as you're putting, so it's a social thing. It's a matter of social prestige. So there's a taste in that. It's not about actually understanding. But here, Prahlad Maharaj, they've gone out to study saintly persons, and here's a saintly person that's so different than he's ever met before. So he wants to know. So that's why then the saintly person saw that. Okay, this was, he was very pleased by the question because it was a nectarian, it was knowledgeable, it was based on something. It wasn't just, you know, it's just like, I'm trying to get money, and if I had money, I would be fat, but I don't have money, and I'm not fat, and you don't have money, and you're fat. Why are you fat? I want to be fat. You know? So that's the actual problem. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, you hear it in different areas of this and that, but...
I have a question.
Yes.
It's interesting that he's not uncomfortable with the question, and you mentioned, like, you know, the way Prahlad Maharaj asked, he wasn't, you know, imposing anything, he was asking very pleasantly.
Right, right.
But at the same time, I'm trying to relate it to, like, in the practical sense. Like, people,
this is not practical.
But as in, if I was trying to apply the same principle, then people wouldn't be disturbed. Like, I can just see people being just disturbed at the question.
Have you ever run across a person who's lying down in the middle of the road who's actually very intelligent, capable, and a saintly person? So then? Because the point is this, what's the reason for pointing out something that doesn't make sense?
To help.
Right. Oh, but are you sure it's to help?
It depends on, yeah.
You understand? It can be that by me being able to point it out means they could, in theory, get some benefit from it. But for me, it's just some prajalpa to talk about because I like prajalpa, and I also, because I'm instructing, that puts me in a superior position. So that's the point. Is it actually about helping? We'll present it. Nobody on the platform of Pranamoy is going to present it that they're doing something wrong and it's self-centered or anything. Because that's the whole point of the Pranamoya, is that Anamoya is bad. But every last one of them, it's extended sense gratification. Pranamoya is extended sense gratification. You understand? So it is about what benefit they're going to get from it. So either you're doing something that's against the system, so then possibly I'm not going to get any benefit from the system. Or it's possible that the system is there, but you're getting things that I should be getting. Right? You know, he's the temple devotee, he's a pujari, he's got so much facility, I'm a grihastha, I'm living out of the temple. Why? I don't have like that. Why do temple devotees, they're supposed to be renounced? What's the idea? Because then that money is freed and I would get it. But if we freed that money, okay, how many million people in the city? Right? How many in London?
50 million, 30 million?
15.
I think it's quite a lot, yeah. I'm not sure exactly how many.
15.
Yeah, I think something like that, yeah.
Okay, so 15 million. Okay, so he's getting, let's say, just say he gets 500 pounds more than you do. Now divide 500 pounds by 15 million people. How much more are you going to get? So therefore, why worry about it? But people do say this stuff. Or if they go to the temple and they don't have anything and this and that, what's this temple? They can't even organize themselves. What's there? It's supposed to be the, you know, most advanced, and they can't even get it together. So what's the point of it? It's just to criticize. So it's for their own benefit, because they are dissatisfied. They want to enjoy, and they're not. So if they see someone else who's in a worse position than them, look at them, because that makes me better, so I'm the enjoyer. Or if they are doing better, it's like, why are they enjoying? I'm supposed to be the enjoyer.
So it's the motive and then also the person as well who's asking. Like,
yeah, so the whole thing is, so most of the time all this so-called, you know, only trying to help is not trying to help. It's just they don't know how to social. They're socially dysfunctional, so they don't know how to interact other than that. And since everybody's like that, it's taken as natural, standard, educated, intellectual behavior. But it's socially dysfunctional. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, as they've never had an experience of what's proper, so they wouldn't know. Right? And they probably don't watch feel-good flicks, so they wouldn't even have anything to inspire them. Right? Because all that stuff's nonsense, it's not real. So their point is, reality is miserable, but at the same time, is so they just taste misery. So they share their misery, point out other people's misery, and stuff like that, and that for them becomes dynamic social interaction. Right? Does that make sense? So, then that's the problem. But the point is this, how to engage in Krishna service. So the point is if in connection with Krishna consciousness, not actually how to understand things through consciousness, that's discussed, then there'll be some benefit. But generally we'll take the secondary as the whole crux, that the secondary you're using, that's why you adjust it, and that's the whole thing. So unless you're in a position where they are in some way a dependent of yours, either as a student or as a family member or as, you know, in management or something, then there's no need to point those things out. You understand? So the point is, it's the consciousness that's the real thing. Like we discussed before, is that the whole point of the five levels of consciousness, you can see them either from the material point of view, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, or you can see them as five levels of consciousness on Brahman realization, right? Understanding the Supreme. So it's just a matter of consciousness. Does that make sense? But if you cut this out nicely, then how much conversation will the community be able to have with one another? Probably hardly any. Right? Now, you might be able to have something that you could go down, maybe, well, it's hard to say nowadays because it's so mixed, but you go down to those areas that are more socially, handicapped or something. You know, economically handicapped, or into those who are economically enhanced, and then you might find that there you might get a little bit more reality in dealings. You know, if they do make a comment, then it's a joke, because it really doesn't matter because they're all like that. Or it's a fact. You could make some adjustments and you could actually be successful. But in the middle group, it's not about being successful. It's just about having interaction. Right? Because if you did change, they'd just find a different fault. So it's not that you changed and therefore, wow, they're happy and that's great and that's where the relationship developed. No, they'll just find a different fault. So it's about finding faults. You understand? So that's why then you make friendship with those people who have common methods of fault finding. So that you can both relate, because you don't want to be finding fault in you, but you and them have the common way of finding fault, so you find that in others, and so that therefore you're friends. Yeah. In other words, two people with a common enemy, they're friends. It's politics. Nowadays it's touted as really wonderful social interaction, community, philosophy, you know, spiritual, but it's just straight up front politics. You understand? You know, it's just like they say, okay, you know, two countries are meeting, okay, this is what we should do, and the other country says, well, okay, we'll think about it, but ultimately we have to do what's best for the citizens of our country. What did they say? They said no. But they said in a really nice way. And somehow or another, then that's fantastic. So what before everybody knew is just politics, now, due to lack of any social structure, now that's normal social interaction. But before, that was called politics. And if you say it's politics, oh no, you can't say like that, you make people feel bad and all that. Kind of like, so? But, it, you know, okay, then, you know. You know what I'm saying? So the only solution is Krishna consciousness. How to focus on pure devotional service, how to engage yourself, that's what Prabhupada would focus on that. If you want to get into all the bad things in the non-Vedic environment, then you could just talk all day. I mean, people talk all day and they don't even know what's wrong with it. Does that make sense? So then the question is there a need? You know, because unless you know them, you have a relationship, you have something, then you can say something. Otherwise, that's why it says, the saintly person acts like a dumb person. Because by not speaking, they think you're dumb, but if you say anything, they'll think you're more dumb. So, therefore, better dumb than more dumb. Yeah.
So Maharaj, in that sense we can define like being political is you're having your own hidden agenda and following the etiquette means you're doing because it's a political.
Yeah, yeah. It means you're following the etiquette, so it's very nicely. You know, it's just like when Brutus stabbed Caesar, he was surprised. Yeah, so it's just etiquette. Because if you say things nicely, then they can't get so upset. But it doesn't mean that you don't say what you want to say. So here it's that it's used in the social, so you say what you want to say, not that there's any benefit to it, but just you feel like saying it. So there's those that say it more nicely and those who don't say it more nicely. And those who don't say it more nicely, the ones then it's pointed out, no, you should say it more nicely, and that's an improvement. It's exactly the same thing. But it sounds better. That's why there's no change in the social environment. Because all you've done is made something that's not nice appear nice. You know what I'm saying? You know, you have the garbage sitting in this black bag that doesn't look good, so therefore somebody comes up with the idea of making, you know, bags that are nice bright colors with, you know, nice things on them, you know, floral arrangements or that. Then you think, oh, now it's so nice. Oh, their garbage is in a black sack. Mine's in a nice colored sack. See, mine's so... It's still garbage. Does that make sense? The saintly Brahmin said, O best of the Asuras, Pilad Maharaj, who are recognized by advanced and civilized men, you are aware of the different stages of life because of your inherent transcendental eyes, with which you can see a man's character, and thus know clearly the results of acceptance and rejections of things as they are, right? So he's, because he has that same qualification, he can appreciate that Pilad Maharaj is using that understanding. So that's why I appreciate it. He can see that he has knowledge. So then one can be open amongst those with knowledge. Someone with knowledge, then you can be more open with. Someone with not, you can't. You understand? Means you deal with a saintly person, you reveal something about yourself, they'll help you with that. You deal with someone who's not saintly, you reveal something about yourself, they'll use it against you. Right? So that's the point, is that all this thing, oh, truth and this and that, but it's about facts. What are facts going to be used for? So if facts are used for something proper, that's a good fact. So if they're being used improper, that's a bad fact. So nowadays people say, oh, we want truth. No, they just want facts so they can use it to their advantage. That's all. It's not actually about the same political stance. It's just presented. If I say truth, it sounds so good. But the journalist is going for truth. But point is if he doesn't come up with a good article, he doesn't get paid. So it's not about truth. It's about getting money. It's about feeding his family. It has nothing to do with truth. Right? And if you say, oh, it's good, but he buys and sells in the area of truth. So wouldn't we say that that's worse? The person on the street who just gossips, that's bad. But the person who makes money out of gossip, that would be worse. Of course, you could say smart, but the point is it's still a worse position socially. So now it's taken that the guys on the top, they're the most intellectual, but they're the lowest. That's why Naradhamma. Right. Is that... Yeah. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments, by your inner vision, Adhyayatma Chakshusha, you know this. What do I know? You know the results of work with desire and no desire. Footnote 14. One who has a knowledge of the absolute truth, O mighty arm, does not engage himself in the senses and sense gratification, knowing well the differences between work and devotion and work for fruit of results. Right? This work is the same. The technique is the same. So this is the point. One who has a knowledge, he can understand. Because we'll say, oh, you're doing that work. That must be mundane. No, it is that work is being done either in Krishna consciousness or in the fruit of mood. That's why then you do duties. Because if everyone does their duties, then no one's doing wrong work. Now it's just a matter of whether it's on truth or it's mundane. Right? But if we use the Western method of doing things, then the difficulty comes is that the work you're doing, then how means you change the consciousness, the work itself may not be good. Right? Does that make sense? So here it is one of not he knows how to tell the difference. Because someone may be doing something because he doesn't know any better, but the consciousness is correct, so then there's a proper thing. You know what I'm saying? So therefore it's better to use proper work. Right? It's easier to deal with. One is understood to be in full knowledge whose every endeavor is devoid of desire for sense gratification. Right? That's knowledge because it's about Krishna. Whatever I do, it's about Krishna. That's real knowledge. He is said by sages to be a worker for whom the reactions of work have been burnt up by the fire of perfect knowledge. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery, which are due to contact with the material senses. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise man does not delight in them. Right? Because if you deal with devotion, it's eternal. There's no beginning, no end. So why work with something that has a beginning and an end if the work is the same? Does that make sense? The person gets up in the morning, eats something, goes to work, comes back in the evening, sits with the family, goes to bed. So, that same work, you could be doing that Krishna conscious and getting eternal benefit. Right? One, the devotional. And because of doing it with knowledge, the detachment, so therefore, he's getting liberated from material existence by that same work. Right? Or, he can be doing it just for himself. So the same work, the work doesn't change. Consciousness is what we're trying to change. So it's actually a position of maturity that someone doesn't have to change their position. It's not a neophyte position, because the neophyte can't tell the difference. They think the work is what makes it. I go to the temple program, that's spiritual. I go home, that's not. That's practical. We won't say material. Nobody wants to say material. We'll just say practical. But for the person in knowledge, it's all the same. Right? It's just direct devotional activities, indirect devotional activities. But it's all Krishna. There is nothing. You're engaging the senses, but it's not about the senses. It's about Krishna. Does that make sense? That's the difference. So this is the person in knowledge. That's what we're trying to learn. So Prahlad Maharaj knows that. He can see that in this saintly person. The saintly person knows that. He sees that Prahlad Maharaj has that and he's seeing it in him. That's where the dynamic is between them. Right? So it's two saintly persons talking to each other. So that's a nice situation. Right? Okay. So that was Bhagavad Gita 3:28 and 4:19 and 5:22. Clever. Yeah, it's interesting how they just flow as one thing, right? Because the same thing's being said in one context, then you go to the next one. Because 3 will be karma yoga, 4 will be jnana yoga, and 5 will be combining the two. So it's one topic, it's just you're introducing it one part at a time. So the same knowledge is being given, but it's just being given now that you know more, now you can understand it to a deeper thing. So this then takes that same knowledge and takes you all the way. That's really nice. Okay, then back to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. If I did not realize the suffering of people who make themselves fat by endeavoring for enjoyment, I would make those endeavors. Right? In other words, people are making their endeavors on the material platform becoming fat. If I didn't know that, I would be doing the same thing. So he's not doing the same thing, but he's still fat. Right? I wonder if he'd get into Forbes. Successful, right? Doing nothing and successful. Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is full of all opulence, is predominant within the core of your heart because of your being a pure devotee. He always drives away all the darkness of ignorance, as the sun drives away the darkness of the universe. Srila Prabhupada comments, the words bhaktya kevalaya indicate that simply by executing devotional service, one can become full of all knowledge. Only to the devotees, however, does the Lord give instructions by which to advance further and further in devotional service. So, one, they'll get actual knowledge, they'll get knowledge of something, but say how to advance further in devotional service, so that's the real knowledge. So devotional service will give you the mundane knowledge, but the main point is the Lord gives the transcendental knowledge, how to advance. That's the specialness. So they'll get the same thing that the others get. You have devotees, they can go in and do amazing stuff. That's why I'm always impressed with the foolishness that devotees do devotional service. In the past, they've done so much amazing things that even karmis can't do. Then, nowadays, we think we have to go to the karmis to get the knowledge how to do that. So they think that knowledge comes from there, from observation of Krishna's nature. No, it comes from pleasing Krishna. He reveals that knowledge. Because the point you observe, how do you find out anything anyway? Unless you're determined, focused, regular, then Krishna will give you some realization because you've paid attention to his laws. So there's been worship of him in the form of his laws. So he gives some reciprocation, but it will be very minimal. But compared to everybody else, it seems like such a great thing. Right? But the devotee, he's doing it to please Krishna, so his dealing and his observing will give much greater results. And then we foolishly think, oh, the karmis can teach us how to do this. In fact, someone who's been doing this all the time, he's not actually the one that can do it. The person, the new bhaktin, who has done the course on this, they're the one that's the actual authority. And where does that come from? The modern academy. Right? That the person that's studied within the academy knows more than the one who's actually doing it in real life. So that's the problem. So here it's pointing out that the words, they indicate that simply by devotional service you can get this knowledge. Okay. To others, the non-devotee, the Lord gives instructions according to the manner of their surrender. So he surrendered to observing material energy in a particular area. Krishna reciprocates with that. But it won't go beyond that because there is no devotion outside of that. But for the devotee, because his devotion is greater, then he gives a greater understanding. And then there's the devotional understanding. The pure devotee is described by the words bhaktya kevalaya. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that bhaktya kevalaya means jnana karmadyam rishaya, unmixed with fruit of activities or speculative knowledge. Simply by surrendering the lotus feet of the Lord is the cause of all the devotees' enlightenment and awareness. So they become so aware of everything without, all they do is see Krishna. Krishna is everything, why they won't know. Yeah, that's the whole point. Okay, so we'll stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki.
Jai.
Jai Nitai Gaur. Jai.